I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. Word!
Hello, schnoosh bags.
Hey.
You're sick today.
No, I'm not really sick. I'm just, for some reason, I'm going to lose my voice. But I'm so I apologize
now. You sound
now.
Like Demi Moore kind of sexy, right? Other than the fact that you're like an infectious ball of disease.
No.
Which is not hot.
So we apologize now that there'll be some segments with you sounding like this, and there'll be some segments with me sounding quite normal. I'm just saying, because
when
we
mix
them.
When do you sound
them.
Normal? When does it normalize?
I don't know. I guess I never meant that. Anyway.
We're in a new studio.
I know.
Moving on up, old girl.
Nice area of town.
I'm surprised they let you in here.
Me too.
This is Venice. It's where the cool kids hang out.
There's something about Los Angeles that you can turn a corner and it's a whole new world. And that's amazing about the beach. Venice. Yeah, it's lovely down here.
Say
yeah.
Something.
I'm still here.
He's still here, but they put Jake in an actual engineer room.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Very different for us. We'll get used to it.
Him back there, though.
We'll get used to it.
All right, Manus, what are we talking about today?
Well, I think, I know that people will want to know what your feelings are about the Vegas shooting and, you know.
Yeah, we held the show so that we could comment on this. That's why we're up a little late today. I'm disgusted with the, what am I supposed to say? Like, there's, the only thing I can say about this is because I personally, at first I was like, oh God, I can't. Like, I don't want to watch this on the news over and over. Like, there's nothing I can do. There's evil in the world. I got it. It's disgusting. Then, of course, it's like, what would I do if I was in that situation? Would I run? Would I help people? I have kids. What if I got shot? Should I, you know, like, then you go through that whole thing. And then it's, you know, I just, the only takeaway I have. Well, first I want to let everyone else talk about it, and then I'll say what my takeaway is, because it's repugnant. So, I mean, what else are you going to say? It's disgusting. It's terrifying. It's just, I mean, what there's nothing else to say about it. So my question is, what are you going to take away from it? And I do have an answer, but I want to hear what everyone else has to think about it. Schnitzel.
It's just like, I think it's more disheartening because there's no reason why. And it's not like I really wanted to know a reason why, because you shouldn't actually have a reason to do it in my mind. But it's just, it's terrifying. It's like you can't even go to a concert that you enjoy anymore. Well, I enjoy country music. And it's like, I wanted to go to that concert. And now it's like, everything feels uneasy.
Yeah.
You could be grocery shopping and this happens.
Someone could throw acid on you. I mean, someone could drive over you with a car. I get all that. Believe me. And I mean, you know what's interesting is that a lot of people aren't telling their kids about it. My kids kind of heard about it. And so, you know, my daughter's really upset, very upset. She doesn't know details, but they're scared. They're like, is someone going to shoot us? You know, they have drills in their school, lockdown drills.
We used to do that.
Oh, God. See, I'm so old. We never had drills never that did. Someone was going to come and kill us. Never.
We had a fire drill once a year.
Yeah, me too.
That was it.
Earthquake, you know, maybe, I think. Yeah. Stop. Drop,
so what do they do at Lewis School? What do they do?
It's a full-blown, like, what do you do if a bad guy's here? Like, lockdown, this, that. I actually just found out about it last night, that they have these drills, because she was hysterical. I was talking to my mom, and Lou kind of heard and started crying hysterically. Not in detail, but, like, you know, and I ended up, they have these drills at their school, and it's... And you know what's weird is that, you know, there's a lot of debate about, do you talk to your kids about it?
Sure.
And, you know, I thought about this, and I, not in detail, obviously, no. But imagine the people that have been living in Israel for years and years and years. Like, their kids have to know. It's a fact of life. You're living with danger. And it's not that you want them to be – and again, I'm not a parenting expert. We should probably maybe go to Gail and see if she's available at a later date. But for me now, I'm like, this is the world. So – while I don't want them living scared, you know, there is danger in the world. There are bad people in the world. And it's about, in my opinion, being aware, being alert, having a plan. So, you know, if that's the school's plan, then so be it. And it's, I also think that, like, I've had a hard time in my older years processing this stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder, had I known earlier, you know, okay, you know, there's bad, but there's good. And here's what I will say. So here's my takeaway. But Jay, do you want to, before I get into the takeaway?
It hit very close for our family because the, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I live with my sister. My sister's upstairs and I'm downstairs. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, her cell phone rang, which is an odd time, you know, at the house for the phone to ring. And so
of course,
her phone was downstairs. So I went to like take a look and it was her ex-husband. And I went, okay. And then the home phone rang.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, this isn't... So I kind of stood at the... I was just about to take her phone up and I stood at the bottom and all I could hear was her in her room, you know, going, oh, you know...
Freaking out.
Incredibly upset. And I thought, oh God, it's one of the kids.
Yeah.
One of her kids. And then she just kind of stood at the top of the stairs and Jordan McAldoon, who was the young man from British Columbia who was killed, my sister's best friend. That's his mom. And she helped raise him. All the kids know him, grew up with him. And I just saw her. It was so, you know what, Jill, it was so, I can't describe. She just stood there in the hall, not able to process. And then throughout the week, watching her process it. And she said, I feel so guilty about thinking about my own kids. And
I said, survivor's guilt.
Yeah. And I said, Janine, I said, there isn't a parent in the world right now who isn't thinking about their own kids, who isn't holding on to their own kids.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, just the process to heal is, wow. I don't know. I've never been so, like, a mass shooting is a mass shooting until it becomes personal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like
I
you
know.
you can kind of remove yourself from it. And I have never been involved in something that is this close to my family. And I don't know. I don't know how to, I had no words to help her. I had no words to help the kids. It was just a matter of just slow and methodical and try and let it go through you. And, you know, Nicole talked about, you know, there's no answer, but is an answer really going to help at this point? Is an answer to why?
It depends on
really,
the person. Some people process it differently, right?
I suppose.
But for me, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter because the deed is the deed. But I was not personally affected by this, as in somebody I know was hurt. But here's what I took away from it. And I got to tell you, there has been mad. I mean, we all know we're looking at the world and it's like freaking, it's crazy right now. You know, a lot of people hurting, a lot of people. And I've kind of been almost paralyzed. Like, it's so overwhelming. You don't know where to begin. You're like, all right. beyond the storms, right? Puerto Rico's wiped off the face of the map. Then you've got, you know, Florida and Texas got hit hard. But I was in Houston and I was in Miami and Tampa recently. Mm. And they're doing good. They've bounced back, you know. Puerto Rico got hit a little harder. But, you know, you have all these things going on. And I was like, okay. And you feel so helpless as somebody who wasn't affected. And that's when I was like, what would I do? How do I, you know, and there's the guilt of why them, not me.
Sure.
You know, there's all that. Absolutely. And first thing I noticed was, okay, you've got one sicko, right, who did this deed in Las Vegas. And then the line to give blood was 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Because that's something tangible people can do when they don't know what to do. It's something tangible. I can give blood. I mean, can do that.
Yeah. It's like people were, you know, you have these great acts of heroism across the board, like in Houston, in Las Vegas, in Tampa, in Puerto Rico. And I got to say that I've noticed for every, even if it's like a KKK rally, right? I'm just looking at the scope of it where you see like this. I remember there was a rally at, I can't remember what big city, I posted about it, and they were like 100 bad guys and like 40,000.
Yeah.
And you know what? As gross as the world is, because the bad stuff is the squeaky wheel, and we've talked about this, but for the first time I think I'm really seeing it, it's like, look for the helpers. And we outnumber them. So even though they do harm and they do great damage, I just don't want people to lose hope, because we are winning this battle. Look at all the incredible people. One sicko, yes, he hurt and killed a bunch of people. But look at all the people that stepped up and were outraged. And so I would say there's hope, because it's like, oh, my God, what's happening to the world? But again, look how greatly outnumbered those people are.
Because we've shifted. The world has shifted. I believe we have. I believe we have. We have shifted to that other side.
As you talk
about 40 strong against 100.
Yeah.
40,000 strong, I mean.
I mean, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then the numbers were insane. And then, you know what else I noticed? Like, as I felt helpless, because I'm like, oh, for God's sake, what are you going to do? Write another check? Send a pack of diapers? Like, you want to just be in there, right? Like, fishing people out of the water in a canoe. You know, you can't sometimes. So you write the check, you send the diapers, whatever. But I got to tell you, even the little things that I never paid attention to that might be kind of douchey on a small level, like leaving my hotel room messy for the housekeepers. And you're like, well, that's their job. Not that I ever, you know, wrecked a room, but like this time I'm really, I pick my towels up off the floor. Like I just try, I'm like, they don't need to deal with my messy room. Like I know that's their job, but don't feel entitled to it. Like, you know, turn the lights off in that hotel room so you don't waste the power at the hotel. Like things that you don't think about, like little things. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm like, how do we go back to that golden rule of treat others as you want to be treated? Treat their home, treat their property. Even if you're like, well, I'm paying for it, so I could leave the light on, or I could run more water when I'm brushing my teeth. I don't know. I just thought like every little thing you do counts, even though it's thankless. It's no one's going to come to you and say, thanks for not leaving your room a car crash. Leaves, you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean?
I do. Honestly, it's one of the things that shifted my entire perspective, is this very wise man said to me one time, and I think I've said it before, that if you really want to find spirituality and you really want to start finding God, take your cart back.
Yes.
At the supermarket.
Little things.
Take your cart back.
Yeah.
And if you want to begin.
Yes.
That's how to begin. And
right.
It shifted my whole perspective.
It's just a total, because it's thankless. It's not about your ego.
Yeah.
It's just Absolutely. Taking a second of your time to be responsible for yourself and know that you're not income, even if someone's getting paid to do the job.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So like that's when you're feeling helpless, like, man, those little things, even though no one's going to tell you what a hero you are and you're not going to be on the news for it, like, man, that makes a difference in your soul. It makes me feel better. Like, pick up your trash, put it in the, don't leave it on the table. Like, be mindful.
Yeah.
So that helps me be less of a dick when I feel like I should be saving the world and it makes me feel insignificant. That's my ego that thinks I can. I can't. We're one person, right? But if you do the little things that you can, man, that stuff, don't you wish other people would do that for you?
Absolutely.
Just the little things? Sorry, Manus.
Yeah, me too.
I thought we'd address keto diets, Manus.
Okay, I've heard of ketogenic.
Yes, it's called ketogenic. Atkins.
Oh, really?
Just, wow.
Oh, my
Seriously?
God. It infuriates me. Yes. It literally is somebody reskinning the Atkins diet.
No kidding.
Atkins diet.
I always thought it was like this hip new, like, wow.
It's Atkins with a new name. So that's, or the low carb, high fat. That's what Atkins was. You dropped the carbs all the way down and ate as much fat and protein as you wanted. And then because your body doesn't have carbohydrates, the liver produces something called ketones. You pee on a stick and it detects whether you're in ketosis. And you have to literally eat like less than 15 grams of carbs per day. So Dr. Van Hurley says it's like a medical state of emergency. And I find that, oh my God, like, it's the same diet. It's Atkins. It's the Atkins.
But people have success with it, right? I mean, wasn't it like a big fad for a while?
Yes, and it still is. Okay. It's no way to live. You smell. A lot of people feel lethargic.
Smell?
Because ketones stink. You get bad breath.
Oh, well, who?
Oh.
Seriously?
Oh, wait. We were talking about this. You brought this up a long, long time ago, and it came up recently for me. When people lose weight, do they get bad breath? Like,
you can.
Big person losing weight.
You can.
Why is that?
Because that could be the fat escaping. I remember this conversation.
Hang on. Hold the phone with fat.
Escaping. It's metabolizing.
No. Dig this. We had a doctor contact us through the podcast email.
Yeah, yeah.
Three sentences or less, thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Jillian.
Yeah.
I was just listening to your podcast when you were discussing what happens to fat when you lose it.
Yeah.
I have a degree in biochemistry, so I wanted to let you guys know it is not fat molecules that you breathe out. When you make ATP.
Adenosine triphosphate.
Oh, good. Thank God you know. You undergo cellular respiration, and that produces carbon dioxide, which is exhaled when you breathe.
Right.
The molecules rearrange, so you do not breathe out fat or anything similar. Being around people losing weight will not make you fat, Nicole.
But I've been breathing in
Love
all this
the show,
fat.
Laura.
But we got to have Laura on as an expert. Reach out to Laura.
Yeah, we should.
Laura.
Now
we'll have our own Dr. Laura. We should bring her on to talk about the keto diet. But I will say, I love Laura. Thanks for weighing in, old girl.
Uh-huh. Thanks a lot, Laura.
Here's what's interesting. What's interesting is that low-carb diets, right? It's not about, again, we get back to the same conversation. Because there are benefits in, quote, low-carb diets, but it's not all carbs. Carbs are not created equal. Certain carbs are loaded with fiber, protein. The body needs a certain amount of carbs to function properly. In which case, you cannot look at all carbs as being the same thing. So when we talk about a low-carb diet, what we really should be saying is low refined and processed flours, low sugar.
What's a low?
Like white flour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a refined carb. But like oatmeal, you can have like, quinoa?
Those are all carbs.
Yams, sweet potatoes. Like if you work them into your calories, they're high in fiber. A lot of them have antioxidants and micronutrients, vitamins and minerals. So, I mean, yes, managing your insulin level, which is the benefit of a low-carb diet, your insulin level can be stabilized and managed while you still eat carbs. And sure, you can go into, and I'd love to have her talk about this, because there is something about ketosis where the body will burn more fat, but the minute you come out of ketosis, study after study shows that they just put it right back on. So the way to lose weight is a way that's manageable. Ultimately, it's going to be about calories, but the keto diets, they're just Atkins reskinned to a new generation. So they sold Atkins to baby boomers, and now they're selling keto diets to millennials.
Yeah.
The same thing. Okay. Same thing. And a lot of people feel physically like crap, and it's arguable whether it's safe. So we're taking something which is like, hey, keep your insulin levels stable.
Because diabetes is insane.
Right, I mean, and high insulin is linked to inflammation, diabetes, as you said, heart disease, and saying, oh, no carbs, which is just not smart. No.
And, you know, I've been doing a lot of research on anti-aging. And when we
think it's about bloody time. I'm sorry.
It's too late for you.
I'm just saying. It's about time. I'm glad to hear that. Yes.
Periods of, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is so frustrating because it's counterintuitive. But periods of fasting, calorie restriction are linked to longevity. Because when we eat, we're literally aging our body. For our body to process the food. When we stop eating, we give our body a chance to focus more on cellular repair.
Which I could, if I could add, I know that we don't often talk about religion here, but many religious communities take time to fast.
Well, here's what's interesting.
And there's something incredibly powerful about the diets of the communities.
I know. Well, they all say meat in moderation. They all kind of say the same thing. But with that said, if you don't eat, right, you will slow your metabolism down. But if you think about longevity, a person with a slower metabolism would have had a longer life. Nowadays, it's linked to obesity.
Yeah.
Right? So it becomes almost counterintuitive because you don't want to slow your metabolism down if you're going to eat too much. So the way that, I have interpreted it is that you reduce your overall intake of food and you can go through brief, short, controlled periods of fasting for cellular regeneration. That's interesting. That's the thing. It's like you can't take anything to an extreme. Everything, you got to look at what's working about it and subsequently what isn't working about it and try to find the right way to incorporate. All right. How do I manage insulin without throwing out all carbs and all the micronutrients that they hold and all the fiber that they hold and all the energy that powers me through my workouts? How, you know, how do I do that without losing all carbs? So it's like there's a way to do that. Anyway, that's what keto is. It's Atkins reskinned, period. Jeez, end of story. God. Summer's over, people. No more barbecues and fried fair foods. I hope you're not doing that. But pretty soon it's going to be holiday season. Let's try a little holiday detox. But you don't need to be deprived and all that stuff, but you can still do clean, healthy food. Guess who's going to help us? Sunbasket, people. Sunbasket sends everything you need to cook healthy meals right to your door. No shakes, no bars, no mystery ingredients, no meal replacements, no crap. Just balanced recipes that you can make in under 30 minutes. No gluten, no added sugar, and no dairy. If you don't want it, you don't get it. And each nutrient-rich meal is high in protein and fiber and less than 600 calories a serving. They also offer, as I said, paleo, gluten-free, vegetarian, family meal options. So eating is right for any lifestyle you choose. Go to sunbasket.com/Jillian today and they will give you $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/Jillian for $35 off. sunbasket.com/Jillian.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, ProLon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. ProLon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, ProLon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But ProLon isn't a diet. ProLon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with ProLon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, ProLon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
I got a question.
Yes?
I saw this article in Women's Health magazine. They said they asked 7 relationship experts. Once a cheater, always a cheater? Question mark. Now, before I get into whatever the hell their experts think, because I actually didn't bother to read it.
Question is, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Is it? Yeah. Yes or no?
I say yes. Absolutely.
I say yes, and if you say no, I think you might be a cheater.
Good point, Jacob.
I say no.
Nicole?
I agree. It's a no.
You don't think once a cheater, always a cheater?
I think once a cheater, you have the tendencies to still be a cheater, but I think you can change your basically you can change your stripes if you're satisfied.
You've obviously never dated a person that left somebody else for you.
Left somebody else for you?
Like
I have.
They cheated on their ex.
You left somebody else?
No, Heidi cheated on her ex with me, but she was like out the door. Sometimes you just need that push to get out the door.
I feel like if you're cheating, you're...
But Heidi is a harlot. We all know this. But as far as I know, she hasn't cheated on me, and it's been a while now. Jesus. 8 years and change. So, I mean, you know.
I feel like if they were a cheater, you shouldn't be surprised if they do it again. But I think you can trust them not to.
And I also think, like, I cheated on, like, a couple people. But I was done.
Like,
right, two people.
I mean,
and I was done. And then the minute it happened, I got out. Because, you know, sometimes you just need that, like, push out the door.
Okay. All right. Yes. Yes, I get that. But I think we're talking more about someone cheating and continuing a relationship,
serial.
No?
Well, or a serial cheater.
Yeah.
Right, but that's the question. Once a cheater, always a cheater. So, okay, here's one. Human beings are capable of making mistakes, and infidelity can be a major life lesson, and it might get people back on track. Yes or no?
Sounds like it was written by somebody begging their partner to be back
well,
with
yeah.
them.
The therapist they consulted.
No, I think that's legit. I mean, sometimes it's like you need to have this thing to realize that what you could lose if you continued on this path.
People also cheat for different reasons. Like, I think sometimes women cheat because they don't feel desired anymore. I think sometimes men cheat because they don't feel appreciated. Like,
and I think
there are different reasons people cheat.
I think a lot of men cheat to stay in a relationship, and
yeah.
women will cheat to get
that's
out of a relationship.
We've been through that one before.
Yeah, G says that. Yeah.
But the thing is, you're talking, this is a very one-sided conversation. You're talking about the cheater. You have to realize that there's the person on the other side that's left in this wake of crap. That, do you know what I mean? Like, there's damage done.
Yep.
Immense damage. So, yeah, sure, I'm not going to cheat anymore. How do you repair that? This other person is broken because of that.
I think there's always a trust that's not going to be fully there, but it's just how strong you feel in your relationship,
no.
how much you can.
I just
regardless.
Think it's nuanced. I just do. I think that, like, people cheat for different reasons. Like, some people cheat because they can, right? So, like, you've got, I mean, not to bash Kevin Hart, because I certainly am not going to throw stones. I am not a perfect person, but, I mean, he cheats because he can. He's Kevin Hart. So he's like, I'm Kevin Hart. I can sleep with all these girls. And there are a lot of guys that can do that and cheat for that reason. You know, theoretically, there are women that can do the same thing and cheat for that reason. Because it's like, well, I don't think women are driven, though, to, like, sleep with a bunch of different men because they can. I've yet to see that. But could be wrong. So I think there's that. There are men that are just, like, catches. And they know it. And they can sleep with whoever they want. And it's too hard to avoid the temptation. But I think you've got things that are, you know, people cheat because they're not getting what they need, or they don't know how to leave, or, you know, you just have so many different reasons. And so the reason for one relationship, anytime I have ever, quote, cheated, it literally was like that happened, and then I was out the door, and I was trying to get out the door. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
then it's like, you just kind of, you're like, all right, I'm out the door. But never, I've never had an affair. So it's also like, are you having an affair? You know, are you having an affair because you have kids? Like, everything is just, you know what I mean?
But why do we have to, I know.
I don't
know. This is the biggest question. Why do we have to damage someone to get out? Why can't we just have, you know.
But that's like saying, why isn't the world a perfect place?
I know.
You know, I mean, I hear
yeah.
you, but it's like sometimes people are like, I can't take it anymore. But they don't want to leave because of the kids. But they're so miserable. So they have an affair. You know, I mean, it just, I see it all the time. And in particular with people at my age range,
mm-hmm.
they get to a point, like 40 is a wow. Oh, my
you're
God.
You're not doing your 40s. You're having a hard time in your 40s.
It's hard. It's a really hard time. And I find that like you have to either drastically change your life or you'll be miserable. And the ones I've seen that are like, I can't do this anymore, like find happiness. And the ones that don't become really judgmental, like really judgmental and unhappy and, you know, like holier than thou.
Yeah.
Because at 40, you just, I'm telling you, like you end up taking care of everything and everyone. So, and it's like, you just, you've got little kids. You tend to be in a position where you're trying to support a company or employees. Your parents are getting older. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the world is bearing down on you. Mm-hmm. And there's no, and you get to a place where you're so miserable. And it's just, it's like you either throw it all out and you're like, I can't do this anymore. Or you have to have a dramatic 180. Or, you know, I just watch people become unhappier and unhappier. And that's what I think a midlife crisis is. And that's when you see, like, people dating people that are much, much younger than them because they're having, like, a return to teenagerdom.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, like, I've seen Giancarlo go through it. I've seen myself go through it. And I don't mean, like, having an affair and stuff. But, like, when I hang out with my brother and sister, like, it's like being 20 again, but without being face drunk and, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I still, like, I can, because it's just, they're not, like, all my friends are like, oh, God, I want to get pregnant. I'm on my 20th round of fertility. Oh, God, I think we're going to get a divorce. Oh, God, my kid's having so many problems with this. I busted him doing drugs. Oh, God, I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just miserable. And, like, and it's like, if I hang out with my brother or my sister or their little 20-something-year-old friends or nerdle it over here, like they're not in that place yet. There's a joie de vivre. There's an adventurous aspect. Like, Jake, I'm gonna go to Seattle, or, you know, they're just like, they have fun and they don't, there's something about that at 40. You're like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I can't breathe. And you try to find that balance again. So I think that midlife crisis is sometimes guys go to, or people get the car or the date the girl that's much younger, or try to revisit. Yeah. They're like, it's not too late. I can go back to that place. And then I do think that you'll find an evening out, you know, but it is just a brutalizing age. And I think that anybody who says it isn't, good for you. I don't know how you got around it. Write a book. But that's what a midlife crisis is. You're asphyxiated with responsibility.
So do you think more cheating happens then?
Yes.
in certain age
Absolutely.
Times?
Okay. Absolutely. So if you don't get a divorce, I think you cheat. And I think people don't get a divorce because of financial reasons. They're like, oh my God, it's finance. Like, I can't tell you how many men I know
who stay in.
They're like, or who got out and they're like, Jesus. I mean, there's all kinds of jokes about divorce where it's like, you know, saying like, divorce is like a hurricane. It's like, it takes everything. You know, it's just like that lost everything in the divorce. And you might be like, well, she deserved it or he deserved it. And maybe, but like, imagine that you worked for X amount of years and you just gave it all. I think a lot of people stay in it for that, which I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I think that they do.
That's a reality.
Or I think that they really truly are like, I have kids. I can't do this to them. And they don't leave. But they're like, well, I'll get what I need on the side. So like they do the you know, the white knight, I stayed, I'm a good guy, or I stayed, I'm the good mom. But like they didn't really want to stay, or they fell out of love, or they stopped knowing how to communicate. And, you know, I just think I don't know, dude. I'm telling you, like, it's a tough, tough age. It is. And you just pack on so much stuff that by the time you're 40, you can't breathe. Whether it's like just responsibilities, and your parents have gotten older, and you probably have young kids. And in some cases,
you're sandwich generation. You become sandwich.
You become, and most likely, like, I have two older kids. I have my brother and my sister, who my dad just, as we know, just was like, well, I don't know, best of luck. Yeah. It's just like, I sat with my little sister the other day because she just started her company, and I was like, sweetheart, you got to get a company credit card. And I was trying to teach her like how to do taxes and all this stuff. And she's like, I don't think I can get a company credit card. I was like, why can you not get a company credit card? She's like, my credit's bad. I was like, why is your credit bad? Because she's like, she's very, very responsible. It turns out that like there were copays that she thought her mom was going to pay that she just didn't pay. And her credit's screwed up. So like, I'm sitting there going through the credit. I'm like, Lauren, you got to call. You got to negotiate. You got to dispute. You got to this. You got to that. And it's the same thing. I do the same thing with my brother, like helping him. And then I got little kids. And then I got my, you know, it's just a lot.
So tell me, okay, let's just.
And a company. I mean,
why do you feel responsible for your brother and sister? What is that? I mean, they're adults.
No, dude, they're kids.
But they are kids. No, Jill, they're adults.
No, they're not.
I just am curious as to why you, like, I.
They're not. You're not. Not in your. No, you're not. You are of drinking age, but you're not. And the problem is that in your 20s, someone took you from a fetus, which is what your teenage years are, where you were totally sheltered, and if they punt you the minute you turn 18, you will crash and burn. And then the question is, how far behind that eight ball are you going to get? And I did. I got so far behind that eight ball. Oh my God, dude.
Are you trying to heal yourself by healing them? Like, I'm trying
to help them not get so far behind the eight ball. You know, like even Nicole, okay, who's really like got her shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. Like, why don't you go ahead and tell them, you know what I'm going to say.
I was going to say, do you want a damn it, Nicole segment?
Tell them what you did, Nicole.
Here's a tip for your taxes.
Tell them what you did.
Uh-oh. Don't meet a guy who is a chef at DuPar's or Denny's to do your taxes, because you end up getting audited and owing it all back.
Oof. But she doesn't even know what she... Oh, she doesn't even know. So, like, she got this thing. So I sent her to an accountant.
Because I've often thought, God, I got to get my taxes done.
DuPar's.
I wonder if DuPar's is open.
Yeah.
Find a chef there.
A friend of hers, like, he's not a certified public accountant, but he went to school for it.
For tax law.
He'll do it. And, you know, she's like, okay, great. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, well, they might open up this, and you might owe that, and then there might be penalties, and, like, do you think I'm going to let God? I don't know what they're going to hit her with. But, like, let's say they turned around and said it's $10,000. You think I'm not going to pay it? Because here's the thing. Because no one told her how to do her taxes. Okay? And she made a mistake. A mistake that you make in your 20s without proper guidance. And this would put her so far behind the eight ball, of which she's already still has student loans. Right? Still has all this stuff. And, like, if I'm like, all right, I can pay $10,000 and I can fix this problem for knowing that she will never make this mistake again. I'm not enabling her to be stupid. It was a mistake. You know, she didn't understand. She didn't know. And yeah, I'm going to take care of it because I look at all these 20-year-olds that just got punted into the world with no help.
Who did that for you?
Nobody.
That's what I
mean. And I got into so much trouble that I shouldn't have been in.
But that's life. That's
no, mama. Not. But I will tell you this. I had one client. Several. That's not fair. I had several clients, and even my mom. When I wanted to start my gym, my little sports medicine facility, it was like $160,000 to start it.
Yeah.
And we needed, you know, rent and salary and insurance and all books and this and that and the other. And we had terrible credit. We had nothing. And I cannot tell you, the landlord gave us the penthouse of a building on Wilshire and La Cienega, 8500 Wilshire Boulevard. Like, yeah. Who does that? With no credit? He gave it to us. We had no credit. We had bad credit. Gave us the lease. I had three clients loan me money. Clients. One guy gave me 60 grand and two others gave me 10. That's 80. And I was like, if I can't pay it off, I'll work it off. 60 grand, I don't know. But like, I was like, oh, I'll work it off.
That's a hell of a lot of lunges.
Right? Yeah. I was like, I'll work it off. My mom gave me 10. That's 90. My business partner sold all her parents' furniture, everything. Like, but the thing is, had I not had that help, like, I would not have been in that position. Probably wouldn't have gotten Biggest Loser, which is a blessing and a curse. But nevertheless, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have what I have. So, I mean, you ask me that question because they're good people. And I know that, like, I had somebody step in and help me in those ways at that time. So I'm not going to allow any of them to get too far behind the eight ball. I'm also not going to enable people to do dumb shit. But,
yeah.
you know, it's just a tough, I don't know. So how do we, what was the conversation? Dating?
Cheaters always cheat. God. Today, man, it's like there's so many turns and, you know, but yeah, so cheaters apparently don't always cheat.
Should I get Heidi's opinion on this and see what she says?
We could call Heidi.
Let's see if she answers the phone.
Okay.
Jake, call Heidi.
Hello?
Hello, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Yes. We have a segment. Once a cheater, always a cheater? Question mark? Yes or no?
Well...
Aha!
I mean, I have cheated in
told you.
Past,
see?
But I never cheated with you.
Well, yet.
Yes, not yet.
Oh, my God.
So yes
and
or
I
no.
guess that's the end. That's the end of the, that's the end of the conversation.
I see. You really believe that? Okay, so Heidi, do you believe, obviously you don't then, that once a cheater, always a cheater?
No, I don't think so, but she also told me she would kill me if I ever cheated on her. So,
so your life's at stake here.
I didn't say that.
Oh. So that helps.
Yeah, that's good motivation.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Heidi.
What do you guys think? Yes?
I said no. I said not once a cheater, always a cheater.
And I said yes. Jake said...
I said yes.
Nicole said no. So we're split. So you're the tiebreaker.
Yeah, but you're the dirty harlot.
Oh, God.
I think you learn as you go on. Like, once, I think when you're younger, yes, maybe, but I think as you mature, you realize it really kind of hurts people's feelings.
Yeah.
And it's not worth it. Just leave if you need to leave.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's my point, is that, you know, there's people that are left in the wake who are very damaged by it, so... Yeah, have more of the balls to, you know, exactly.
Yes.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Heidi.
You're very welcome.
Don't forget to email us your questions. We want to talk to you at jillianpodcast@gmail.com.
Guidelines.
Guidelines.
Yes.
Three sentences.
Or less.
Or less.
And a phone number.
And a phone number.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.